Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for tuning in again. This is Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. We're just about done with the month of April, right? Have you noticed that? I mean, you're pretty aware, generally.
Well, I see the calendar, but it's difficult to actually place belief in that.
I see, yes.
Due to certain meteorological truths.
There is, yes. That does kind of supersede a lot of things. So, you know, for those that are baseball fans, you follow the Twins, of course, you know, they're not going to be playing today. I don't know if the Brewers would be playing either, or the Cardinal. I mean, it's kind of all across the Central Midwest and down in Southeast. And our thoughts and prayers with family and friends in Little Rock area.
Yes,
I know, in fact,
yes.
Some I think members of the Family Life Radio team were severely affected from the tornadoes that went through suburban Little Rock here the other day. So. Thoughts and prayers with them, and if you have family members there, that hopefully not in harm's way today. But we're glad to have you listening to the broadcast today. We occasionally, somewhat systematically, I guess, like to visit with our good friends Kirby Stahl and Paul Stein. And Kirby is the Senior Director of Advancement Services and the Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation here at the university. And Paul Stein is a certified financial planner, has 25 plus or so years of experience, and has a company called Advanced Retirement Resources. And in the past, we've had both Kirby and Paul come by, and we talk a little bit about estates and planning and all those kinds of important things that we are always thinking we should do and probably never get around to. So today may be the day that you can get some of your questions answered, and maybe it raises some questions or at least motivates you to say, you know, I need to take care of that. And I think we can all share maybe personal stories of where we are kind of in our own life stage and journey that maybe prompt us to do this program. So, Kirby, Paul, good to have you guys here again.
Great to be here. Thank you, Neil.
Glad to be here, Neil.
So we want to talk a little bit about today, and I want to just mention if you have a question, if it's relating to, retirement planning, estate planning, charitable giving, all those kinds of things, we would love to have you join the conversation. In fact, we'll open up the phone lines here for the full hour. So if there's something that's sort of top of mind for you right now, or maybe in a family circumstance, I just want to find out about this circumstance or situation, you're welcome to give us a call. Let me give the number out. It's 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. And Grace is there to take your calls. Or if you want to drop us a note, you can do that online. Oh, okay. All right. Well, the online web address is myfaithradio.com, and you can go to Connecting Faith show page. And the caller did just want to mention that the Milwaukee sports team was smart enough to build a dome with a retractable roof. So they can play. Okay. Point well taken. Yes, there's we apparently wanted to experience the elements, and so here we are. So we're not doing that with the football team, I guess.
No.
We're well aware of that. Anyway, so guys, let's start with because I know Paul, you're Advanced Retirement Resources. I mean, it's wills, trusts, taxes, insurance, investments, all those kinds of things at the foundation. Kirby, you're dealing with a number of issues about how people want to sort of live generously and give generously. So maybe to start by way of opening up the conversation, are there some, maybe how often do we need to review or reevaluate an estate plan if we have one?
Well, I have my own personal estate planning in place. It doesn't mean that I review it every day, every year. We usually like to think that it's a good rule of thumb to review these every 3 to 5 years or at very important times in your life. Sometimes the death of a loved one or the birth of a child or changes in location or you name it. I mean, there are always good reasons to review these plans, and I think a regular basis is a good thing.
Well, and it is surprising how many people probably haven't done their estate plan. You know, it's one of those things where we kind of know that, yeah, I should do it, but not really knowing what to do. So if I could just mention, you know, kind of some of the basic elements that most people should have in their estate plan, whether they're young or old. One is, you know, everybody thinks of the will, and that is an important document to have in place. And certainly if you have small children, you know, to have the most important thing to do in your will is who would you want to be the guardians of your children. So a lot of times we're mindful of an estate plan for older people. But even for young people, everybody should really have an estate plan. And sometimes people think it was just, you know, that's for wealthy people, but it should be really for everybody. So everybody should have a will, and certainly if you have small kids. And the second thing would be to have a power of attorney, and that's just a document where you name someone else to make financial decisions for you if you can't. And then the third tool that you'd want to have in your estate planning toolbox, so to speak, would be a healthcare directive. And that does for medical decisions what the power of attorney does for financial decisions. So you're naming somebody else to make healthcare decisions if you can't make them yourself. And then the second thing is that you give some guidelines, gives you the opportunity to put in some guidance to that person what you would want or not want in difficult situations.
Now, maybe just to follow up, because as you talked about, especially if you have young children, well, I've got three children, and they all have young children, and so we've had this discussion around the table from time to time, and it often comes up. Well, could I just do something online just to have? Is something better than nothing? And so, are there some pros and cons with maybe what's available in terms of online or maybe less complete services?
Well, I think that is generally true that something is better than nothing, but we're just dealing with a family with four adult daughters and the patriarch of the family finally passed away here and they had kind of some they had tried to do things as inexpensively as possible and now they're seeing the ramifications of not getting the best not having it done properly So that would be my caveat, you know, that something is better than nothing. But depending on the complexity of the situation, hopefully people do the adequate amount so what they want to happen happens. There are a lot of good online tools. There are software packages, you know, and so I always tell clients you need to have three characteristics if you want to do something yourself. You need to have some knowledge. So it depends on someone's knowledge level. You need to have time and you need to have interest. So it doesn't matter if I'm doing my own estate planning or changing my own oil or re-roofing my house. You know, it's do I have the knowledge I need? Do I have the time to do it? And do I have the interest? If I don't have the interest, I'm probably not going to do an adequate job.
And that's why I always say there is a role for professional advisors. And there are all kinds of professional advisors. There's financial advisors and attorneys, accountants, you name it. And just like Paul said, I am not qualified in certain areas. I should seek out a professional advisor to help me. Sometimes they range from fees that they charge as well, but boy, it's always worth the time to make sure you do things right.
Because, yeah, when it comes to, the disbursement of estate, it's sort of too late to have been on the front side of that.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to be here to find out if what you had planned worked. You know, sometimes we don't make the best decisions. You know, if our car broke down and it was going to cost $800 to repair it, you know, people don't think twice. They bite the bullet and fix the car because they need the car. But then if it's going to be $1,000 to do an estate plan, you know, then they try to short circuit that. And not that there aren't good tools, but you just have to be careful. You know, a good tool can be misused. You know, you could give me the same scalpels that a surgeon would use, and you wouldn't want me doing your surgery.
Yeah, understood. Mm-hmm. Let's take our first call today. By the way, we open up the phone lines right away. So if you have some questions related to, you know, estate and planning and all those things, just kind of retirement and thinking ahead about generous giving and charitable contributions, all that, it's 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Or, again, you can go online, myfaithradio.com, click on the Connecting Faith show page, And you can send us an email link. Let's take this is an anonymous caller from Minneapolis. Go ahead. You're on with Paul and Kirby.
Hi. See, I just have a quick question for you guys. So I have four daughters, three of whom are grown, one more at home. And in my planning, my youngest is medically fragile. She is disabled. And so we've already had many discussions. Their father is deceased. And we've had many discussions about, you know, she would never go to a group home or anything like that. The sisters have said absolutely we would, you know, make sure that she was with one of us. But in the estate planning and in planning for her, and I'm actually looking at whether conservatorship right now or guardianship for her is going to be better. She is, you know, she's mentally alert, all of that. So we're looking at maybe kind of a conservatorship. But is there anything else I should be looking at? To help with her, and can you give me any advice on who to seek out for trying to get all that straightened out with the estate planning also?
Yeah, that's a great question. And when you have a situation, let me just back up to the tools and stuff, you know, that for a lot of people, if their situation is pretty simple, straightforward, you know, you're kind of in the middle of the bell curve. You know, maybe trying to use a tool yourself, you know, would be an inexpensive way to get something in place anyway. But like this situation, this is a situation where if there's something different about what you're dealing with, it's more important to get some good advice. And a good estate planning attorney would be an excellent resource in this situation because there are special needs trusts that can be set up where financially there can be provisions to help that individual in the estate plan, in this case the daughter, that has some special needs that are unique, but you wouldn't want those funds that are being set aside for her benefit to disqualify her from other benefits that she might otherwise qualify through the state or other programs. So it's very important to have it done right. And it's well beyond the scope of this program, but that'd be a situation where you'd want to go to see a qualified estate planning attorney that understands trusts and how that can be drafted. So the daughter's needs are met, and in trying to help her, it doesn't disqualify her from other benefits that she could benefit from.
Maybe this would be a spot where I could give out both the websites for Kirby and Paul. Paul's at advancedretirement.com, and you could go to the info section there and just at least make some initial contact if you. And I know, Kirby, you'd provide some referrals too, perhaps. It's unwsp.edu/plan-giving, and that would be a place where you could maybe connect with Kirby as well. But I think, you know, we're always looking probably for. You know, I need somebody to help me in this area, and some of these things become pretty specialized, don't they?
Exactly, yeah. And Kirby and I both would know plenty of attorneys that would be well qualified to help in a situation like that, yes.
Yeah, and all advisors are not created equal. And I mean, there are attorneys who specialize in estate planning with special cases like this, too.
In a moment, we're going to come back and sort of pick up on the question that this caller alluded to, that, you know, not all of our children are equal. And so when it comes to maybe dispersing estates, how do we kind of factor some of those things in? We're talking estate planning, talking about things like wills and trusts, and as it relates to taxes, insurance, and investments, about generous giving and generous living, charitable contributions, all those things. Love to have you join the conversation. It's 877-933-2484. Paul Stein is a certified financial planner with Advanced Retirement Resources. Kirby Stahl, Senior Director for Advancement Services at the University of Northwestern. He's the Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation. And we'll talk more with Paul and Kirby in just a moment. 877-93-FAITH.
Encouragement for an active walk of faith. Podcast audio of today's programs on Faith Radio in case you missed the show. The very latest on conferences and events in your area. It's all in one place and delivered right to your inbox from Faith Radio when you subscribe by email to myfaithradio.com. Head to myfaithradio.com and enter your email address in the subscribe box right at the top of the page, helping you connect faith to life every day at myfaithradio.com.
Maybe you've heard that Faith Radio's on Twitter. It's an increasingly popular way to stay connected to your friends and your interests online and on your phone. It's simple and easy. It sends you short updates on the latest from your favorite Faith Radio teachers, original shows, and events. What about giving it a try today? Just search for My Faith Radio on Twitter or head to twitter.com/MyFaithRadio to follow us today.
May be a gift to be simple, but when it comes to kind of estates and tax law and some of those things, it's gotten a little more complicated. And so there are some simple things we can do, we do need to be planning and thinking. And as we set out right at the beginning of the program, that there's always it's always valuable to review the plans that we have in place. And of course, there's certainly a lot of scriptural basis for us even planning to begin with, that God has entrusted us to be stewards of what He has given us. It all comes from Him. And it all belongs to Him, but we are entrusted to be stewards. So we want to make wise decisions and choices when it comes to planning retirement and planning estates and revaluing some of those things. We're talking about it today. You're welcome to join our conversation at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. Kirby Stahl, Senior Director for Advancement Services at the University of Northwestern. He's also the Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation. And Paul Stein is a certified financial planner. He's the company's Advanced Retirement Resources. You can find out more at advancedretirement.com. And Paul and Kirby have been our guests many times in the past, and we're looking forward to just having a great conversation today. The last caller talked a little bit about a child with some special needs. It reminded me that, obviously, I have three adult children. Kirby, you have, six, right?
Six.
Yes. Paul's got a couple in there. They're not all the same, but when it comes to, I guess, dispersing estate things, do we want to treat them the same? Or let's talk a little bit about that and maybe how much do we involve our children in that decision-making process?
Mm-hmm. I always think, boy, it would be great if I could gather the entire family around the table and educate, inform, share what the plans are. Again, these children at different ages, they have different understandings of these things. I do see, though, that there are so many families or parents who don't involve their children at all in their financial affairs. And they have reasons for that as well. But I think that could just tee up a bunch of questions about why would we? Why do we not include children in some of these thoughts?
Yeah, a lot of our clients are older. given the name of our company, we've focused on, retirees for well over 20 years. So, in fact, I was just speaking to another group this last week, and I was looking at our clients, and I've had 46 clients pass away over the years that have helped them with their estate directly, and which was more than I had thought. But what you reveal to your children is very, very personal. And some people are private and they don't want their kids to know maybe how much they've accumulated over the years, and so sometimes there's a hesitancy, but you can do a lot of sharing, as Kirby was talking about, without, talking about the dollar amounts. And so I think age appropriate, when, you don't have to wait until the kids are adults to be talking to them about your values. And, hopefully all of that is coming through as you're parenting and demonstrating how you trust God and how you want them to trust the Lord. And, it's not just something you talk about, it's something that you live. But Kirby made me think of a good point, where you can, the attorney will do all the estate documents, and take care of the legal documents. But you can do a lot of communicating. If they're not old enough yet to maybe talk to him about it, you can write them. You can communicate in other ways. You can write letters to him. And I've done that since the kids were little. I would be driving home and I'd be thinking about this. And I thought, boy, if I died now and the kids are, 5 and 7, I haven't, there's a lot of things on my heart that I haven't been able to communicate to them yet. And so I'd go home and write a letter and put that in our firebox with the will, and now they're 25 and 23. And so I've been able to share a lot of those things. But I think how you handle your estate, is to do that thoughtfully. But then I think it's really important to communicate the why to your kids in some way. So if that might be a personal letter to them or handwritten letters that you leave in with your estate planning documents, I think it's really important to know for them to know why you did what you did.
Mm-hmm. And I guess probably just a simple thing, too, would be that they know where the documents are, right? I mean, you have a special place where there's the firebox, as you call it, with the will. But, mm-hmm. I mean, we need to have that stuff together someplace. And we've all experienced probably where, you know, family members or something, they, you know, the papers were all over and who knew? And you spend years trying to figure that all out.
Yeah, and I've got one of those fireproof boxes in my basement, too. Okay. Hopefully somebody can find the key. But I also have a financial advisor. And my advisor knows our family situation, our insurance, our investments, and other things, as well as our values. And I think that's the important thing, too, is our kids, ranging from 3 to 15, they don't have any doubt of what our values are for money and for these personal possessions that we have.
Let's take another call. Glenn is calling in from Rochester. Glenn, you're on with Paul Stein and Kirby Stahl. Go ahead with your question.
A couple of questions, actually. The difference between a regular trust and a revocable trust, to my understanding, is limited as it is. I understand that you could eliminate having to go through probate, hence giving more to the church, if you had a trust. I'll hang up and listen.
All right.
Well, there is a difference between the will and the trust. The will is a very public document, and it ensures probate. That's how I've always understood it. Trust at times can cost more to set up, but it also puts in the elements of privacy where maybe the court system doesn't get involved as much, or maybe other individuals won't be able to get into the details then of how much assets you have and what you're going to be doing with them.
Yeah, just to add to that, you know, a trust is kind of a will substitute. If you put assets into a trust, then it takes care of managing those assets, whatever's in there, you know, according to the terms of the trust and what the trustee is able to do. And if it's a living trust, that's a trust that's set up while someone is living. And typically those are revocable. So the person that set it up can change it anytime they want. It's no different in the ownership, but it does take care of those situations like incapacity. It takes care of the trust, takes care of the managing of the assets that you've put into it. Then it also takes care of the distribution of those assets that were in it. And usually an attorney will also draft, if you have a trust, you will also have a will to go along with that. It's called a pour over will, that if there was some things that didn't get into the trust, or let's say you were inheriting some assets that, and you passed away and they didn't get into the trust, it'll grab those things that didn't get in the trust and put it into the trust.
So a simple definition of revocable means that it can just be turned over or
be changed,
reversed. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Revocable. And those are, and then there's testamentary trusts. And that would be a trust that's not in existence while you're living. It would be created at your death, either through a trust document or your will. And a very typical use for that would be like for your children, for minor children, or was so that the trust is set up in the will to manage those inheritance assets until a particular age or so forth, and then it'll distribute them.
So at, you know, 20, 25, 30, that sort of thing.
And just to clarify, too, the will doesn't allow you to really change ownership out of your name. The trust would allow that, where you are indeed changing the ownership of a piece of property into the name of the trust. You would be that trustee then, helping to direct that and change that as time goes on. But that's where you might be able to see some more tax benefits or savings or just different levels of privacy, too.
Sure. Yeah, and different attorneys have different opinions on whether the trust would be more appropriate or the will is adequate. Just kind of general rule of thumb: if someone owns property in other states, a lot of times people here in the Twin Cities might own a cabin or something, a second piece of property in Wisconsin, or maybe down in Florida. If you own real estate in more than one state, that would be a real compelling reason to have a trust as a will substitute. Kirby also mentioned the privacy issue. We're not so mindful of that here unless you're a real high-profile person, but in the Twin Cities we're not so sensitive to that. But in smaller communities, that can be a real issue. You know, anybody can go down to the county courthouse and see who you left, what you left your stuff to and who is getting what, where trust would be private.
I think it's really important, too, to mention that the beneficiary designations you have on your properties also line up with the estate planning documents that you put in place.
Yeah, so that's why you need some planning to work through that. When we come back, I want to follow up on because Glenn, one of his questions was, you know, it will allow me to give more. And we want to talk about that charitable contribution aspect of that. And we'll do that in a couple of minutes. Also, take your calls, too. You have a question, talking estates, retirement planning, all those things today with Kirby Stahl and Paul Stein. You're welcome to join us. The number is 877-933-2484. It's 877-93-FAITH, and we'll get to your calls and comments here in just a moment. Stay tuned. It's 32 past the hour, and talking today a little bit about wills and trusts, about estate planning, about retirement resources, all those things. Guests include Kirby Stahl, Senior Director of Advancement Services for the University of Northwestern and Vice President of Northwestern Foundation. Paul Stein is a certified financial planner with 20-plus years' experience at the company Advanced Retirement Resources. You can find out more online at advancedretirement.com. To connect with Kirby, you can go to unwsp.edu. That's the Northwestern website, unwsp.edu, and then plan giving. Or, in fact, if you want to just go to our website, myfaithradio.com, if you click under the support tab, there's a follow-up there for, I think, estate planning or charitable giving. I forget exactly what it's called, but you'll actually, we've got on our site a number of videos that talk about wills and estates and insurance and the giving stock and all those kinds of things, which are very helpful little videos, and we'd welcome you to check that out, and it might be a great resource. Obviously, we won't get all the answers covered today, but guys, I want to get back to Glenn gave us a call here a minute ago, and you're welcome to give us a call too, by the way. It's 877-933-2484. But Glenn was asking about trusts and wondering about giving more, if that, you know, in terms of wanting to be generous in our charitable giving at the time of our passing or maybe even before. Let's talk about what are some things we need to know about charitable giving and ways that we can maybe maximize that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always say to people that I'm a Matthew 6 person, and it says Matthew 6:19, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, right, where moth and rust don't corrupt. And I think a lot of us are mindful of what's going to happen when we pass away to our estates. And boy, as much as possible, it'd be great to get those on to those eternal perspective type things. And that's where charitable giving comes in.
And I think it's important for people to think that, you know, that are, you know, that are supporting charities, you know, whether it's their church or other charities, you know, while they're living, if they died prematurely, you know, those gifts would be lost. So to think about that, you know, if this is something that I want to be giving to while I'm living, to incorporate that so that some giving can continue when I pass away.
And is that something that should be spelled out in a will, or is it just something where it's we disperse our estate to our children? I guess we kind of assume that it all gets dispersed to our children, but that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. But is it something that should be documented, or is it just an intention?
Well, Kirby mentioned the importance of coordinating your beneficiary designations with your estate plan, which is so important. And some attorneys are better at helping with those follow-up details than others. But, you know, sometimes it's easy to go in, you got the documents drafted, and I'm good to go, and maybe didn't go back to all, you know, your 401k, your qualified retirement plan through your employer, you know, life insurance policies. Making sure that those are coordinated with what's in your trust documents is important, because for a lot of people, that's a big part of their estate. But for charitable giving, you know, a great thing to keep in mind is just naming charities on the beneficiaries of your qualified plans, your employer plans, because typically those dollars have never been taxed, and they're going to be taxed to somebody. Either as you take them out, you pay the income taxes on those dollars that were put in pre-tax, or your beneficiaries are going to pay the tax on those dollars. But a charity is tax exempt. So if you want to have less go to tax and more go to charity, that's a really effective way to reduce the tax liability and have more go to charities by doing some of your charitable bequests on your retirement plans. That could be a tax deferred IRA, tax deferred annuity, IRA, 401k, those types of untaxed assets.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned annuities, and let's talk a little about gift annuities, because that's something you can do now, right, before your estate is
Sure. And I'll just tee this up, that there are many ways that people can give charitably to a university, to a ministry, and receive income back to them during their life. And whatever's left over afterwards then goes to the mission of the ministry that they're supporting.
Yeah, they're very like a charitable remainder trust. Mm-hmm. But a real good example that you mentioned there, Neil, was a gift annuity, where that's ideal for someone that's typically retirement age or older, that they need income, but they're also charitable. And in this crazy world we live in, a lot of people are scared and interest rates are low. It's, you know, it's generating income for retirees is can be challenging. A gift annuity can accomplish both. It can give you a consistent income stream that is based on your age, and then that's set up for life, and then the remainder goes to the charity of your choice, which is and that's Kirby's area.
Sure.
Yep. I was also going to say that in the 13 years of settling estates for our university, I see everything as basic as people leaving their church or a ministry as a percentage, unrestricted. I also see very detailed delegation of where the charity should be using the dollars that go to them. And so, I mean, the document of the estate plan, the will, the trust, that's where you can spell things out for charities.
We'll get back to a call in a minute. I just did want to follow up, though, because there's a, in some ways, we were talking before the program. I mean, I'm getting closer to retirement age, and you think about, well, you know, it's not going to be just having, you're not getting all your 401ks out in a lump sum, and then it's just sitting in a pile in the dining room. You want to keep some of that going, right? There's a couple of things you need to think about, right? I need to continue earning some, even in retirement, because that potentially could be many years.
Yeah, when we were talking earlier, Kirby mentioned someone that had had to postpone their retirement when in the credit crisis back in 08, 09. Yeah. And most of us read stories of people in the papers, you know, that had to either postpone retiring or had to go back to work after retiring. And, you know, those are sad stories because those are real lives. But, that shouldn't have to happen. So people have to start planning for their retirement, you know, earlier. If a typical cycle in the stock market, you know, is 3 to 5 years, it wasn't until 07 that we got back to where we were in 2000. So that'd be 7 years. So just looking at that aspect of our economy and the markets, you know, so at least 5 to 7 years before someone is hoping to retire, they should be doing some of this planning. You know, where are they going to take income from? You know, what's the plan? Because you're right. You don't. When you retire, you don't want to just all of a sudden shift everything to low-risk things. Now, if you have a big enough nest egg, you can do that, but usually the trade-off for low risk is low returns. So if you might sleep good at night, but if your nest egg is invested at really low returns and you're going to run out of money, that's not a good plan either. So so trying to balance that, how much to be able to spend now and how much to spend in the future, you know, what's going to be your plan for generating the income you need is different for each person.
Yeah. It also makes me just think of taking stock of what will life be like in retirement? What will my living style be? How much do I want to give during retirement? Right now, taking a paycheck, it's pretty easy, or it's easier to give because there's an income stream coming in. Well, you're still going to have an income stream in retirement. But is it going to be at the extent where you'll be able to live the way you want to and continue to give as well?
We were talking, part of our hope is that throughout our program that we'll be able to just address more about what it means to live generously and to give generously and what that looks like. And we're getting some great advice from Kirby Stahl and Paul Stein today. We're going to take another call. This is Ann, who's listening in the Faith 900 in Minneapolis. Ann, you're on with Kirby and Paul. Go ahead with your question.
I was wondering if you have beneficiaries listed for everything you own. Do you also have to have a will or a trust that spells that out?
That's a good question. And really, in the state of Minnesota and probably other states too, you can pretty much put a beneficiary on everything, now including your home. There's what we call a TOD deed. And so really, you should be able to leave as beneficiary pretty much everything you have. The will certainly has different effects as well, and sometimes you'll have personal effects that you want to pass along, heirlooms, different things that you know are special to somebody. And the will with some instructions can allow for that as well. I guess there's always that chance that you didn't put a beneficiary designation on something that the will document or a trust then could help cover.
Because you sort of call it like an overflow, right? I mean, that's the will is sort of the catch-all, I guess, or whatever, isn't it, from the trusts that aren't designated?
Well, your will is really your instructions to the probate court. Mm-hmm. So, the probate court only comes into play for things that there's no joint owner, there's no living joint owner, and there's no beneficiary named, and it's not in a trust. So then the question is, who should get these assets? And that's the purpose of probate, to do that in an orderly fashion. Not all bad, but there are, you know, their legal expenses and their court, you know, costs and delays, and it's public and those different things. But so probate isn't all bad, but it's just to understand that when that comes into play, as Kirby mentioned, there, you know, if you name beneficiaries on assets, that avoids probate because now you've got a beneficiary. But then you got to be mindful of that too. Let's say you've got five kids, and you do a TOD to all five kids. That can be complicated because now you have five owners of a piece of property, and then they all own this single piece, this asset jointly. So it kind of depends on your number of your beneficiaries. There's two sides to every coin. So you just got to be mindful of weighing out the pros, a lot of the pros and the cons of whatever course of action.
But it did seem like maybe in general, though, to get those beneficiary designations correct. I mean, we talk about sort of reviewing an estate plan. That's probably a pretty good thing to do as things change over time, right, to make sure that those are in order.
Yep, absolutely. And it makes you also take stock of the stuff you have. You know, some have more than others. And so maybe there's a point in being able to have that beneficiary designation, or if you can't put a designation on something, figuring out who would best benefit by it.
Yeah, and, you know, laws are changing too. In fact, just here in Minnesota, just within, I think it's the last month now, you know, they passed a law to increase the amount that you can pass estate tax-free to a non-spouse here in Minnesota from $1 million to $1.2 million. And that's going to be going up $200,000 a year over the next number of years. And, of course, the federal amount that you can pass to a non-spouse beneficiary, for many, many years, it was $600,000. And then if you did some basic estate planning, you could be exempt of estate tax on $1.2 million. Now it's $5,340,000, and you don't have to do any estate planning to double that. So a lot of folks aren't worried about federal estate taxes, but they can be impacted here with Minnesota. But now that's changing too, and so that's another reason why someone, if they haven't reviewed their estate plan in a number of years, it probably would be a good idea to do that, because if the documents were drafted to balance, to take full advantage of the estate tax laws, certainly if it was more than 10 years ago, that should be reviewed, because it likely won't work the way it was intended in those old laws.
Kirby, do you know, I mean, the foundation, you know, that sort of the some of the laws and issues like in North and South Dakota and Wisconsin, Iowa, I mean, or is that something that is in your purview?
I might not be exactly qualified for that. And we really, again, the role of the advisor, we always like to say to people, make sure you are contacting your attorney or your tax professionals, your financial advisors, because there are different laws for different states.
So. Yeah.
And Dave Danielson, mm-hmm. who was has his law degree and works with Northwestern, he knows. They have a good network of advisors,
sure.
that are good resources if a client doesn't have someone themselves.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
It does remind me. You mentioned several people, attorney, tax advisor, kind of accountant. I mean, that one person probably can't do this all, can they?
No, I think Albert Einstein said we're all ignorant just in different areas, and he was pretty bright. So I think it is wise to know that you just can't know everything about everything. So my role as a financial planner is to know quite a bit about a lot of things, but I can't know everything about everything. So, you know, it is important to have an attorney and a good tax advice, people that understand insurance. But oftentimes it is helpful if you need to have somebody on the team that is understanding the overall picture.
Mm-hmm. And I would just say that, boy, in the line of work that I am in, it's about the relationship. And in no way do we want to be with either Paul or myself. We are not self-serving, and we really want to identify what the person really desires with their faith, with their family, and their values, and then work for what's best.
We'll talk a little bit more about that, what that looks like here on the other side of the short break. Also, I have time for your questions, another call or two. You are welcome to join us at 877-933-2484. It's 877-93-FAITH, or if it's easier to drop us a note, you can go online, myfaithradio.com, and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there, and we'll pick up your question here on the other side of the break. Paul Stein is a certified financial planner with Advanced Retirement Resources. Kirby Stahl is Senior Director of Advancement Services at the University here at Northwestern, and the Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation. And our phone number is 877-93-FAITH.
Wednesday at 6:40 a.m. If romantic relationships leave you miserable and confused and you're wondering, what did I do? Christy Johnson knows the pain of toxic relationships, and she'll help you diagnose your soul health that will help you change your habits, heal your soul, and break the toxic relationship cycle.
And at 7:40, when Christians were asked, what was your favorite book of the past year? The number one book was 50 Shades of Grey. We'll talk with Dana Gresh, who cites research that proves this type of book erodes intimacy and creates distance between you and your spouse.
Join us Wednesday at 6.
You can help make people rich, and it has nothing to do with money. Complete your degree in health psychology with a concentration in applied behavior analysis. Prepare to work in homes and hospitals, clinics and classrooms, helping people with autism, aggression, or various conduct and behavior disorders. Build lives that are truly rich. Learn about this accelerated online program at unwsp.edu. University of Northwestern, St. Paul. Learn. Lead. Invest. Impact.
There is a day coming when we will take our last breath here, and then we want to be able to hear our Savior say, well done, good and faithful servant. What does that mean, maybe in terms of how we plan and manage the estate that God has entrusted to us? We want to be good stewards. God owns it all. That's a pretty fundamental principle, and all that we have comes from Him. So we're talking a little bit today about planning and being good stewards, and I want to get some perspective on what that looks like, maybe from a faith perspective, a Christian perspective. I guess if there's such a thing as sort of writing a Christian will, get some insight on that. Kirby Stahl is a Vice President of Northwestern Foundation, Senior Director of Advancement Services at the University of Northwestern. Paul Stein's a certified financial planner with Advanced Retirement Resources. Guys, if we, how do we, I guess, pass on that our Christian values when it comes to dispersing our estate?
Well, I think about it in different stages of life too, because right now I have very dependent children and a family. And maybe it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for me to leave the bulk of my estate to my church or charities. But at some point, I hopefully won't have as many dependents. And I should be mindful of passing along my faith, my values, and what better way than to consider my local church and some ministries that are close to me. And I can count on one hand the ones that really resonate, that are my top five, and really identify with how I might be thinking about those in the future.
Well, on the I see that as there's the non-financial side of my estate, and then the financial side. And as a Christian, I want to be mindful of both. So on the financial side, like Kirby mentioned, if I've been giving to my church, you know, other charities, you know, throughout my lifetime, when I die, you know, do I want to have some continued support to them? I think that's important to think about, you know, and incorporate that into your estate plan. Very, very simple to do. Then there's the non-financial side of my legacy that I leave behind, you know, and you mentioned like the ethical will or the Christian will, where you can have, you know, a preamble or a part of that, you know, that is like your statement of faith, you know, that here's what I value. And I think, and that's not wrong. But I think it's to me, it's so so structured, so formal. And I tend to be one that I'd rather speak from my heart, and I'd rather have the flexibility to change that to add to it. So that's where I think adding written letters to those people that you're including in your estate plan, all those things that you'd want to say that maybe you don't get a chance to say. We've been doing some neat things with trying to help our clients with that legacy aspect with a videographer. We were just at the Union Gospel Mission annual celebration last night, and they had some great stories that they had captured on video of people's testimony of what God had done in their life. And I think we can do that, whether it's at home video or you do something a little bit more. And then like adding chapters to a book, and in a few years, if I want to add more to it, I can continue to add to my story, my testimony, and then hopefully I'm sharing as I'm living. But if I don't get a chance to share that with someone, I can capture it in some way and pass that on. And I just have seen time and time again where maybe there's a wayward child or someone that's gone their own way, not God's way. And when that loved one passes away, whether it's a parent or a sibling, there's sometimes a tenderness and an openness, and there's opportunity then to share the gospel.
And I was going to say, what a great gift to receive. And I was just on the phone with a lady before I came over to the studio who called in to say her mom, age 98, died a couple weeks ago. And what she told me was that she had learned so much about her mom and dad and where they supported ministries or church, and how that was so important to her. You could tell that the faith and the values were transferred down. And what a great way to receive a gift from a parent and to continue that legacy.
Often is it, maybe you see it, Kirby, where when it comes to estates, the resources are dispersed to the kids, and then is it beneficial tax-wise for them to receive those resources, and then they can make a charitable contribution on behalf of their loved one?
Sure. So two things. Paul mentioned the what we consider the good assets to give to children and maybe the bad assets to give. Where a retirement plan, that's going to be taxed to individuals who receive that versus a charity receiving those, that's tax exempt. And so depending on the assets you have, it would require the type of planning to make sure you're giving the right things to your kids to benefit them. And then like I like to say too, my parents have chosen that they're going to make things equal for us kids. They're going to let us determine if we want to share with charities that or to keep it on our own. And it's the discretion of the person who's creating these plans and how they feel it'll impact their children, their families.
And you asked the question earlier, Neil, do you just do it equally to all the kids? And that's a common question we get when we're trying to help clients in these areas that, certainly giving it equally is the easier thing, but I would ask the question, do you parent equally, well, most of us don't. I mean, you have some, you're equal as far as your principles and what you're trying to teach the kids, but how you apply that is different. And so we try to encourage clients to think about that anyway. If you have a client, let's say that's gone, or a child that's gone into a very lucrative career, and then you got another child that's maybe gone into full-time ministry, do you want to just distribute that equally or do you want to adjust that? But whatever you choose, I think then it's important to communicate the why. So it's not that you love the one child less because you gave them less, so I think just like you would parent, trying to do the wisest thing, and the wisest thing isn't always the simplest, but then make sure you communicate the why.
It does seem like those are conversations where you really need to talk through with someone, an advisor. I guess just think about the not only the financial aspect of it, but kind of the human aspect of it as well.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned a common question. We've got about, 3 minutes left. I'm thinking, Paul's, is there maybe a common question or two, something that we ought to touch on? Say, here's the typical question that people have most often, or the one thing that if I could say, if I speak to a group of people, here's the one thing I want to recommend, or two things.
Well, I guess I was just thinking about in the volatility of the markets that we've had in recent years, and you know, and we've had some scary times in the last 13 years, 14 years that have really kind of shaken people's confidence in the markets and the economy, and of course we never know what the future holds. We do know that probably there's going to be some more scary times at some point. We just don't know what or when. So I would the tip I would have would be to remember that the better investment decision is almost always the opposite of what your gut is telling you at the time. It's really just to remember that it's counterintuitive, and we all know that we're supposed to buy low and sell high, but how we usually fail to do that. When things are low, people tend to bail out and get scared, and when things are high, they're excited about buying it. So just resist that temptation. You know, just remember that if your gut's telling you to do something with your finances, probably take a pause, maybe do the opposite, and it's probably the better decision.
Of course, I mean, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind, and we need to keep coming back to that too as his followers. Kirby, any thoughts, sort of the wise word that you want to leave us with?
Well, and I believe as a person of faith that everything I have comes from God and belongs to him. And if that's my mentality, I'm going to try to be the best steward of my resources that I can possibly be, and I'm going to do my best to tell everybody else about that too.
Say a word about resources available. Paul, we mentioned your website, advancedretirement.com. What can they find there?
Well, in the upper right-hand corner, if they just wanted more info or a question, we're happy to provide any additional information that we can for our listener. And because there's so much more to probably try to say than the airtime allows.
Mm-hmm. And I would just say, too, like Neil, you just said about My Faith Radio, you go out there. There are plenty of resources on various ways that you can support ministries in general, and the various ways you can help out your estate planning, tax planning situations.
You can go to myfaithradio.com and look under the support tab, and there's some opportunities there where you can actually connect in with some videos, just find out a little bit more, some great things from Guy Burgo, who connected back to the foundation if you want to find out more. Mm-hmm. But dealing with wills and trusts and taxes and insurance and investments and stock gifts and all those kinds of things. Or you can send a note to Kirby. You can go to unwsp.edu and then plan giving, and you'll connect with Kirby Stahl, Senior Director of Advancement Services at the University of Northwestern and Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation. Paul Stein is a certified financial planner. Advanced Retirement Resources is their company. You can find out more at advancedretirement.com. Paul and Kirby, good to see you guys again. Thank you.
Thank you
for having us.
It was hopefully a challenge you to maybe go through the files here, look at some things that need to get updated, and make your plans and keep working toward being the good stewards of all that God has given us so that we can honor him, not only this life, but in the life to come. Thanks for listening to Connecting Faith.